We set the goal late last year. We thought 2025, let's have a goal of 25,000. And we want to work up to 100,000 annually that we grow and donate healthy produce. But for our first year, 25,000 was a stretch goal, and things have worked out pretty well.
You should be paying attention. You should be paying attention. Somebody asked me, is United Way, and now, you know, with Lloyd Moss, is it the canary in the coal mine? Is this a signal? I think you should take it seriously. Government cannot provide services at the same level and at the same cost as the nonprofits can. Our community could be hurting. But the reality is, having spent 25 years in nonprofit, it's true. We used to tell people, for every $1 you give us, we can put $10 of impact back in the community. Who gets that return on investment? It was true. It was true because we know how to mobilize volunteers. We know how to mobilize people to give.
I've seen far too many students pass away over the years. And every single time teachers, parents, bus drivers reach out to me and they've expressed their pain and wish to send their condolences to the families. But we've also seen roadside memorials that just, they don't do it. You know, these kids deserve better. And I wanted to create a place where families, friends, and staff could come together.
I'm told I will never know who nominated us for this amazing honor. But if that person is out there, I want them to know how humbling it is to have been even considered for this process, even more so to be a finalist alongside these other beautiful women and their communities.
We're just pleased that we can do this, and it really came from our owner and chairman of the board. He has a real, real desire to help. And he asked Mark and I on one of our visits, you know, what can I do to help in Fredericksburg? And we said, well, I'm sure there's plenty of need here. It's just a matter of doing it. So Mark and the WBQB team got together and came up with four charities that they thought were worthy. So really the reason you're getting this first check is because of what you've already done here, and you've proven yourself as a great charity and an upright organization, and we're just happy to be able to do it.
I missed my kids' pumpkin carving tonight, and I should be working on their last-minute costumes before the trunk or treat. I have a student at Anthony Burns Elementary, and I've got a preschooler, but this is so important that I needed to be here for my family, because one of the criteria that you all had was quality of life. And I'm telling you, if you bring Bucky's here, it will negatively impact our quality of life in Stafford, and especially in the neighborhood of Embry Mill and Austin Ridge.
And I put 20% down on a beautiful single family home in Embry Mill. And when I walked into that home, I thought about the beautiful life that my 5-year-old was going to have there.
When giving a eulogy, one is supposed to start by stating one's name and relationship to the deceased. Telling you my name is easy. I'm Barbara Vorndick. It was my privilege to write Eliza's first biography. But explaining my relationship to Eliza is a little more tricky. For you see, I just met Eliza, a few months ago at Dulles International Airport in the cargo bay of Air France. When I put my hand on her coffin and welcomed her home, the emotion was overwhelming, and it still is.
And that's what Leashes of Valor is about. It's about hope. It's about holding on for one more day. It's about believing that tomorrow can be better. It's about redemption and second chances, not just for our veterans, but for many of our dogs that come through our shelter or come through our program from shelters and rescue organizations.
And so I represent my ancestors, and I represent all the blacks in the Fredericksburg area. Caroline, King George, Spotsylvania, Stafford, and 22401. And most importantly, especially, I stand here representing those whose ancestors were enslaved. You know, we are only 4 to 5 generations removed from slavery.
600,000 servicemen passed through these doors during the war. Some did not return. During a blood drive, the first donor of the day was a college student who had been informed her brother, a navigator on a bomber in the South Pacific, had just been killed. The young lady went ahead with the donation anyway. In wartime, this building bore witness to great sadness as well as tremendous joy. With an impromptu wedding taking place at the fireplace in the foyer.
And while the farm definitely has plenty of roots in the ground, I think the barn today says we are committed as a community to the permanency of the Rappahannock Education Farm. It is not a fly-by-night operation. We are putting roots in the ground through a structure to show that this farm will endure and be a community asset.
You don't just get 800 people to show up in the park on a cold Saturday night to raise $200,000. You don't just become the number one fundraising community with the most walkers in the country.
It is our responsibility as a community to help our community, right? So sounding the alarm was, I don't know, a few minutes, few days after the shooting took place right over here in Old Greenwich. I was awakened at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the words that were shared with me were, sound the alarm, fail-safe error, cannot do this alone.
A thriving, well-connected business community is what all localities yearn for. The city staff who work in this building, the folks who do the inspections, plan the traffic patterns, encourage people to vote, and promote business in every corner of the city work right here in this building. These elements come together right here, making this building a city center.
Well, Carla, you guys have become, all you have to do in Fredericksburg is say the goats, and everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. That was surprising. So we didn't think that people were going to come down here and beat them up or anything, but we were not prepared for how many people were going to be visiting them on a daily basis. So it's been kind of reassuring. Obviously, you know, when we put them in a residence, it's not as out in the open. There's less people passing by. We were worried. We did lose a couple nights sleep. But we feel better now because they've been kind of embraced and people are looking after them, and it's awesome. It's really awesome.
2025, National Night Out, thank you for coming and being part of it. We want to give a big shout out to all of our exhibitors here who have come out and been here. We encourage you, as you're going around talking to exhibitors, ask them how many years they've been coming to National Night Out. You will be surprised how many people are brand new here and how many people have been coming to National Night Out year after year after year. But this is what community looks like. This is the point behind it, is having community coming out, families coming together.
Stafford County takes immense pride in being a partner in this meaningful endeavor. As many of you know, the county has worked diligently to identify, preserve, and protect sites of historical significance. Among them are the many stops along this heritage trail, which bear witness to the enduring presence and legacy of the Black community throughout our history. From the lives of those who labor forged Freedom's foundation at Hunter's Iron Works to the Falmouth Riverfront, where acts of self-emancipation first took root, each of these places tell a powerful story.
Love Scrub got started back in June of 2020. If you remember way back when, turn back the time dial here, there was a thing called COVID going on. Lots of the sky is falling kind of stuff going on. And I wanted to kind of reach out and give a little hope and realize what we have in this community and bring people together. And you had to do things outdoors.
Where have the last 8 years gone?
Great question. I can see it when I look at my picture when I came in, yeah. And the picture now when I'm leaving. A little aged, but it's gone very quickly and really been a treat for me to be part of that great institution.
First woman president at Germain, and that was a big deal then. It's a big deal now that you've been able to do. That's something I think I would guess you're really proud of.
I am, and I think I might have said this before. When I came, I thought, what? Why is that a big deal? But then in retrospect, you think, oh, there are really just a third of the presidents or so in the country of colleges and universities are women.
This is our fifth resort. We have one in Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Round Rock, Texas, and soon to be Virginia. I think this is the finest site that we have of all of our resorts. It is It could not be any more perfect if we'd have tried it here.
As we open these doors, we step into a future full of opportunity. A future where every student is known, supported, and challenged to be their very best. What we begin here today will echo for generations to come.
As we cut this ribbon today, we're not just opening a facility. We're opening the next chapter in how we prepare and how we serve and how we protect. To all who will train here, take pride in that this place stands for skill, discipline, professionalism, and the responsibility that comes with this badge.
Ambassador, what I found so interesting about it was I knew about you, but after I read that book, I realized I didn't know much about you. That's what makes it such a great read.
Well, thank you. You know, that's very interesting that you say that, Ted, because one of my very close friends, who I'm sure you know, Gay Todd at Agbaloa, she, after reading the book, she told me, she says, "I knew what you did, but I didn't know what you did."
Yeah.
You know, she spoke about it that way when she read about the detail, when the book unpacked many of the nuances and labors and layers and descriptions of the kinds of things I actually engaged in day to day.
So I just want to take a second to recognize the tree stewards and every other volunteer that's planted trees with us. I'd like everybody to put your hand up if you work with us in some way. All right, look at that. This is amazing, okay? Again, we couldn't have done it without everybody. It's just, you know, you can lead a parade, but if you turn around, nobody's there. It ain't happening, you know what I mean?
And I take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation. Or purpose of evasion. So help me God. Congratulations.
Grief is timeless. So
there's no timeline. I know there's this discussion about how there's seven stages of grief, but I really think that is incorrect, you know, because on any certain day, you know, they talk about anger, denial, all this stuff. And, you know, there's still times when I'm angry. Really angry that I'm in a position, especially now, holidays, they're a huge trigger, and I'm angry that my family isn't all together and we can't celebrate. There's always this vacant spot.
Today, we are gathering for a powerful and sobering purpose. We're here to give voice to the thousands of children in our community who cannot be named, but who must never be forgotten. Over the next 9 hours, you'll hear the names Jane Doe and John Doe read aloud, and many of you will be reading them yourselves again and again.
John Doe 7, Jane Doe 16, John Doe 13, Jane Doe 8,